yesterday morning, the Lord spoke to me early. Good thing he woke me up early, because I had to hurry around. The Lord spoke to me and said, go to the wedding. And I thought, well, later on, that's a new experience for the Holy Spirit to tell you go to a wedding. I didn't think it was that important, you know, for your presence to be there. But God did that, so I had Sister Juanita with me for a partner, and I, as soon as I heard her aroused, why, I told her then what I'd gotten from the Lord. So we made some quick arrangement about coming. And then this morning, since I've been in the service, the Lord gave me a scripture that I really didn't know was in the Bible, and I feel led by the Spirit of God. So a surprise yesterday and another one today. And the one place in the scripture it says, can thine heart endure, and will thy hands be strong when the Lord dealeth with thee? Well, when the Lord's dealing with me, I surely want to obey. I haven't always obeyed. There's been, and that brings a real heartache to you when you realize, sort of wake up, you know, that you haven't obeyed God. I had this experience in disobedience. That's not what I'm going to preach about. But to point out, there's been the times when I felt impressed to go see someone sick and didn't go right. I was busy, you know, or something involved and didn't go and then regretted it later. But one sad experience that I guess I'll just die with was a few years ago when I was in Tulsa with Sister Barton, and she had fallen on the floor and laid in the cold for a while before they found her. And I went there, but I had promised to be back at a certain time to stay with this certain lady sister that was in the hospital. And so I left. She was to be dismissed the next day. She wanted to trust the Lord, but her family just picked her up unconscious and took her to the hospital. So it was time for me to come home. She was to be dismissed the next day, and this is the night before. And when I left Tulsa, I came by Neosho. It was prayer meeting night, and asked for prayer for our Sister Barton. She was so sick. I went on home. And when I got to 32nd Street in the south part of Joplin, the Lord impressed me to go to St. John's Hospital. And I was sort of travel worn, and I argued with myself. I thought, well, now Olive knows that I'm coming. I don't see the point. By then it's about 9 o'clock. At night, and I thought, well, she knows that I promised, and I'll be there, and I just drove on home. But now this can be a warning to someone else too. But not until the next morning did I find out why I needed to go to St. John's Hospital. I got to where that I would park when I'd go in and out and be there with people so much. And I park in the emergency parking space, when there's space there. Then I'd go through the emergency room and on to the patient's room. But this time I went on home. And the next morning, I learned of my cousin, my first cousin's little 21-year-old daughter, had been stabbed and died. She lived about 2 hours. She had been stabbed 37 times by a crazy young man in the Bible college there. And she lived 2 hours. And right at the time that God was telling me to go to St. John's Hospital, It was that. I couldn't have done anything, only been with the family. Probably would have gotten there before her folks got there from Granby. But I had nothing that I could have done, but the thought of it, see, when God led me, and I would have been parking because of the, you may get knocked in the head at night on the parking lots if there's not a security guard, and I just practiced because I went pretty often there to be with people, and I would have gone right into emergency, through emergency, see, and could have been there to comfort the family. I went as soon as the next morning, as I found it out, I pressed her dress that she was buried in. They said she would have to have long sleeves because her wrists were sliced. She'd have to have a scarf around her neck because her throat was cut and so on. And I did what I could, but I missed that opportunity. I'm talking about being led by the Spirit of God. So yesterday morning, I did some quick work getting ready to come here. And then today I stand before you in the fear of God. I want to please God. And if he had more purpose than me just coming to the wedding, well, I'm here before you in the name of Jesus. And I trust God will bless and help us all.
Amen.
It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Amen.
I don't know of anything I want more than to be led by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And then I want to be able, whatever comes my way, to be able to endure it. I want my heart to be able to hold out with strength to endure. We don't know what's ahead of us, but I tell you, I still stand by the scripture. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Thank the Lord. Now this is what the Lord gave me a while since I've been here. I didn't know anything about Brother Williams leaving, and I expected him to bring the message. But, and of course his other minister brethren too. But notice with me from Ezra, the fourth chapter, and the fourth verse. It says, verse of the fourth chapter, now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. But Zerubbabel and Jeshu and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto the Lord our God, for we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus the king of Persia hath commanded us. Then the people of the land, notice this, the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah, or the people of God, and troubled them in building. That's my text. Along with that, Jesus soon leaving the world, he spoke these words. And praying for his followers. He said, I pray not that ye take them out of the world, but that ye keep them from the evil.
Amen.
It'd be nice to just be caught up and go on to glory when these hard trials come. I would be glad for the Lord to deliver Brother Allen.
Yes.
But that's the Lord's business.
Yes.
We don't need to try to tell the Lord just a certain day you do this and you do that. And let him have his way. Now the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. We're to be builders for God. Then another scripture says about the God of this world. Who is the God of this world? Who is it that's having preeminence today? It's the devil himself. It's Satan with all his cunning devices. And to think of all the time since the Garden of Eden when he's practiced on people, they say practice makes perfect. So he's really done some practicing on the human family and has sent many a person to torment them because they failed to become strong in the Lord and put on the armor of God. And they gave way to the folks around them. The devil is the god of this world. Devil worshiping has become prominent, they say, on Main Street in Joplin. They have a place of devil worshiping. And one woman that worked with a friend of mine, and she said, "Why, yes," said, "my children go there." And they said, "Your children go there?" She said, "Well, yes, it's church." Let me tell you, this world is getting more and more blinded. We're a minority, just a remnant here in this world. And now it's going to matter greatly from now on just how we have friendship or, God forbid, fellowship with the world or with sectism. I don't think if a Billy Graham crusade came, I could have any part whatever in meeting in the primary, universal. Just everybody join in, and so on and so forth. Oh, God, help us today. Listen, the people of the land. Now, we're not out of this world. We're right here in this world. You remember how Abraham prayed, if there be 10 righteous people, that God would spare the city. And God said he would. And in a big city, 10 righteous people. Let me tell you, there's many a town today that there's not one righteous person. They're wholly given to sin. And we live, we have our own little place to live. And the people around us, they're the majority, nearly everybody. They'll weaken your hands if you're not careful. You've got to be a neighbor. Why, I would go my limit to help a neighbor at 6 o'clock in the morning. One time I was called, then my next door neighbor on the south, the man's wife called me and she said, "Come over. Take us to the hospital." And her husband had been sick all night long. And she had begged him to go to the hospital, but he wouldn't do it. And at 6 o'clock the next morning he said, "Tell Ruth to come." Well, I got the car started and went over there. And here's this dying man. He had come by himself. And then lean and get his breath. And if I had been strong enough, I saw the situation so critical, I would have, I believe, picked him up and carried him to the car. He barely made it to the car. He lived, I don't know if he lived 15 minutes after we got him to the hospital. I was glad I could assist. I was glad that he wanted my help. By all means, he should have been sitting in an ambulance, should have gone sooner. And I believe in being neighborly. Yeah, I'll help out if it takes losing a whole night's sleep. But let me tell you, the people of the land, this is my text. The people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah. We heard a message the other evening at Neosho, Brother Sammons was there, about our soul, letting nothing stand between us and God. When it comes to something that war against the soul, then we better be careful. Over here in the 17th chapter of 2 Samuel, it says, "Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David that this night, and I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid. And all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all returned, so the people shall be in peace. I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid. And then all the people will flee, and we'll get the king, we'll bring the people back, and so on. See the plot of Satan? They say that before the Japanese took Pearl Harbor, the night before, they got all those servicemen, got them all drunk, had something big doings, and got them to drinking, and there they were, their minds weren't working. And the next morning made that attack on Pearl Harbor. Got them in a weakened condition. Do you know that's what the devil is after? It starts in when your children start to school. There is that opposition against truth, against righteousness. Well, those little children are mistreated. Their parents are so fanatical and they're so religious that these children are mistreated. And maybe the teachers began using their influence against the influence of righteousness and holiness, because that's the people of the land, see. Now there's the kingdom of peace, and his kingdom is within us, and we preach and pray and sing about the kingdom that Jesus came. It's not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. But I want to tell you, the devil is the god of this world, and he has the most of people, even though many have a form of religion. But let me tell you, he's pretty well master. It even comes now in criminal cases that it almost looks like the law upholds the criminal. Well, you read about the judge that killed his two little children, and the judge patted him on the hand and sent him on his way free. He tried to kill his wife, but she wrestled the gun away from him, and so she wanted to go back to him and have another child by him. But the judge let him go free with just a pat on the back of the hand. You better have God on your side. David said, if it hadn't been the Lord, it was on my side. You better, in these things that come to us in this time world, you better have God on your side. You're going to need Him. Because the people of the land are against us. The neighbors, they told me, one neighbor told me later, when I moved in the little town of Carterville and moved there among the neighbors, it seemed like that they were pretty upset about it, a preacher moving among them. And someone had been loud and so on, and somebody had been so religious, and I understood that they just didn't fancy me even moving there. But I did, I think I'm one of them, I just stayed on my corner and I didn't try to run their business. They sometimes tried to see about mine. One of them knows every car that comes to my house, knows when I leave and when I come back. That's all right. I said, didn't think I'd be dead very long till somebody would find me, and I appreciate that. But the people of the land, she took a notion that I just must have a television. And she was going to get rid of her old one. And if I wouldn't buy it, I didn't know. I was on a trip. And when I didn't know when I got back home if it would be out of her way and on my back porch or not when I got home. And then I'd have to go from there. She was so determined. The people of the land, they want to weaken your hands. They want to fight against you, holding up the standard that we have today. Oh, it is getting so far from the way people are living. I tell you, sin and ungodliness is increasing in the land until just don't need to be astonished at anything that may happen next door to you. The text says, then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. And here's this fellow that comes along and said, we want to build with you because we're serving the same God. Did you ever hear that? Well, we're all going to the same place. We're all concerned about going to heaven. Let's just unite here, and we can unite our prayers, and we can just do big things. Why, we can just turn the world upside down if you'll just unite with us. And one preacher told me, said, if you, I'll let you preach in my pulpit and I'll preach in yours. And said, when I preach like that, I'm very careful to not say anything about something that would be like a slam on us, you know, that would interfere with our belief. Just fixing it all up. The people of the land will weaken our hands if possible. Now, we've got to have this balanced. I want friends. I would want to live in a community and nobody like me and everybody hold me up as a holier than thou person and felt so much superior to them. I want to be on the level in their suffering. I want to suffer with them. I've heard of people that went to the hospital. One man, before he got saved, said he was in the hospital and he asked for help from the saints, but they wouldn't go see him because he's in the hospital. I go to the hospital all the time see people. I know the Catholic priest over at St. John's Hospital. He and I talked some. And then once I sort of needed a clergy rate to go in this intensive care where a man was dying. And so he showed me where to get him and all. And I speak to him. He's very nice. And when I'm there and in trouble and with people and meeting death of their loved ones, why he helps us out. shows his kindness, which is his duty, but I appreciate it. And I'll go to the hospital. I had this experience. The same sister I spoke of earlier was in the hospital, and I was there with her, or she was found. I had almost bled to death and was found in her bathroom by her sister and was taken to the hospital. Then I was to notify the folks. I was there with her, of course. I was to notify the other folks how she was progressing. Bleeding ulcer, the jaw, I was almost bled to death, they operated on her, but I was supposed to, like I say, keep up with things there, and then notify the others so they wouldn't be calling in, you know, I had been with her at noon, and had gotten her something to eat and went home to rest and was going back to spend the night with her. And at 5 o'clock, someone called me and told me the ambulance was there taking her to the hospital. So I went, and the sister told me, her sister said, follow us. And I went. When I got over there, now this is just a precious little experience for me. And when I went over there, I went to make a call, and the calls then was 10 cents, and I actually didn't have that much change. See, I had gone just unexpectedly. So I went to the office. I went to the desk, and I asked them, the volunteer lady, I said, can I use your telephone? She said, I tell you what to do. Said, go right over there in that room, and you use that telephone. See? So I went over there, and here's this kind of a small room at the end of the gift shop. I went in there, and I used the telephone. And I had to call often to the other folks how things were progressing. And every day I went in there and used that telephone. And I called it my private office, see, in the big St. John's Hospital in Joplin. I'd use the telephone and tell the other folks all about it. And it was kind of nice. And I'll have to pay a dime just every time you try to use the phone. It was over, and now when I go back over there, they've taken my office, took the petition out, and enlarged the gift shop, since I don't need it, you know, like I needed it at those, like in those 2 or 3 weeks. That was just a precious experience. For God to give me a private office, I hardly ever saw anybody in there. Once in a while, a volunteer helper, and it was always just right there, ready for me to use telephone, free of charge. It was just precious now. We don't know what God's going to do for us. So when I didn't need it anymore, then they went and took it and put it, you know, took out the petition and put it in the gift shop. But it sure was nice when I had it. Now, how are we going to get this all balanced? How are we going? How can we, if we're a friend of the world, the word Jesus said, then you're my enemy. You cannot be a friend to the world and be his friend. How are we going to get this balanced? How can we think of those people? Oh, they're not saved. Why, I have to be careful with them. Well, then it goes on and tells us in the scripture about being a neighbor. Who's our neighbor? What are we going to do about all this? There's plenty to do for humanity to be their friend And yet, we are a separate people. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a separate people. And there will be something about us that just will not blend with the spirit of the world. There will be something that keeps that separation that we'll have to keep, but still be a friend to one in need. But that scripture that says, "As you have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto they of the household of faith." There's something about the household of faith that you just love. Says, "As you have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto they of the household of faith." There's something about the household of faith that you just love to do for the people of God. We need to be a neighbor and then a friend in the sense that, sure, I'll help you. I believe any of the neighbors could feel free to call on me in time of help. Sometimes they have, just in great need of prayer. I read this little article. It said that there was these ministers that were sent out to just try out how the world would treat them. And so this one went to a certain church, and nobody paid any attention whatsoever. Do you know there's people that's come to our camp meetings and said nobody spoke to them while they were there? They were people of the land, maybe, you know. Do you know that's happened to them? Yeah. It has. God help us out. So this man's experience, that he went to the church and nobody said, "Well, how are you? And are you hungry? Do you need a place to stay?" And they just ignored him. And right across, now this was a trial, see, that they were finding out how the world would respond to their ministry. Right across from the church was, I guess, kind of like Skid Row. There was the bums, he went over there. They said, "Well, hi, brother. Do you have a place? I'll share my pad with you. And here, I'll give you a drink. Why, brother, just be right here with us. We'll take care of you. We'll share what we have." And that was his experience in the bum world, see. Well, then we get a lesson from that. We might hold ourselves too holier than that. But I want to warn you, and I warn young people, that if you're not careful, the people of the land, your schoolmates, your friends that you have out there, you better be careful about associating too much with them. They'll weaken your hands because that spirit of the world is against the spirit of holiness. Better be careful. But all along and in all of this, we have to be balanced. There's the New Testament doctrine that speaks about, like if the wife is living for God and the husband be pleased to dwell with her, well then she needs to stay with him, that she without the word may win him. But on the other hand, when it comes to them weakening your hands to the point of you give up in despair. One dear woman that used to be saved and her husband dealt her so much misery, she says, "I'll never try it again until he gets saved." God dealt with him. But and the man came to the services a few times after their little child had been crushed under the wheels of a big semi truck and trailer. But they didn't come on and even walk in the perhaps in the light they had. Oh, the world has such a hold on people. People are just going at such a breakneck speed, and then the devil wants to see to it that they don't have any sober thoughts. Just noise all the time. Here lately, I was trying to help out an invalid sister, and she seems to have her days and nights mixed up, and she stayed up till in her chair till 5 o'clock in the morning, then she goes to bed, and she keeps the radio on all night long. I've been tired enough and went to sleep, but that night I couldn't take it. The next morning at 5 o'clock, I couldn't take any more listening to that old hoedown music all night long just for the noise of it. And I wasn't used to that kind of noise. When I go to bed, I like to have it quiet and go to sleep if it's possible at all. We're in a perilous, this is perilous times. You know, that's been Sister Lottie's message for years. In the last days, perilous times shall come. And I'll tell you, they're here. I don't know what else is going to happen. But we're in the world, but we're not to be a part of the world. We need to be able to be balanced in being, have opportunity, do good, do what we can, be thoughtful though of our own soul.
Yes.
Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah. You know, the devil knows exactly if you get a little discouraged, if you get despondent. When I was a young girl and got saved at 18 and went on for God, and I'd been so full of foolishness in the sense of getting up before people, of saying these old speeches and monologues, and that was the one time I was kind of brave. I wasn't brave to when I tried going out with some boy. I was too timid to talk, and grew up with five girls. And when I was growing up, I thought boys was the biggest nuisance God ever made. I wasn't used to them. Wasn't around my cousins. And I grew up kind of a man hatred, but I don't hate men anymore. I don't have a free love spirit, but I love the brethren and the sisters, and I expect them to do like the Bible says, just treat the women as sisters, see, and be pure in heart and so on. But I got saved. And I had been so full of all this foolishness, sometimes 10 or 12 pages of prose that I'd learn and get up before the crowd and say these speeches and dress up like a man and black my face and sometime be the Negro preacher or the Negro mammy and so on. Complete job of changing me around, that they said I went around, I got so sober, and some of them said I went around like I'd lost my last friend, and I didn't know how to get it balanced. See, I really meant business about serving God, but I overdid it in that way. We're not to have a tail of wool. We're supposed to be bringing, drawing water out of the wells of salvation with joy. We're supposed to be a happy people. Love whom but the Christian is happy and free. And I went along quite a while, and God had to teach me everything. I didn't know anything about the Bible. We never had a Bible in our home till I was 12 years old, when my dear grandmother came to live with us, and she brought her Bible. Mother had a little New Testament, but it was tucked away in the drawer. Sometimes I'd get it and look at it. One time he had a new Model A car, and I think I liked the looks of the car more than I did his looks, but anyway, he was supposed to come to see me, and he didn't come, and he wrote me a letter, he said, and I didn't come because the roads were muddy, and he said, you know, the Bible says, and I didn't know what the Bible said. I tried to read, and I read about Jesus being born of the Virgin Mary, but he said, and he had typed the letter, and he said, the Bible says it rains. He meant to say on the just and on the unjust, but he had mistyped the S in just, and he said J-U-E-T. And I wonder what kind of people that could be in the Bible. But see, I didn't know anything about the Bible. So I kept on. It says, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. And God just taught me. He taught me a lot of things, and I have a lot yet to learn. But this is the learning way. God unfolded to me. And then I learned that we did have something to smile about. See, I was separate from the world. The neighbors said, you know that Ruth McNeely? They said, yes, they knew her, old neighbors, and said, you know, she went daffy over religion. And then they had me preaching before God ever saw about having me, calling me and so on. The people of the land, they were against me. It was a different thing. When I used to go out and had a certain building, I practiced my speeches, and my mother would like to be outside there and listen, and then let me know that she was there later and laugh about it. But later on, I found a place of prayer and would go out and pray. That was a different story, let me tell you. The people of the land may be your own loved ones, and may be the people of your own household. Yeah. And let me tell you, they'll weaken your hands if they possibly can. The devil may use your dearest loved one. Might be your mother or your father or your wife or your husband or your children. That will weaken your hands. God help us. Then the people of the land weaken the hands of the people of Judah and trouble them in building. Many people have been troubled. They've been hindered. And many have been led astray just because of others. Their influence. See, I heard this story. One girl was saved, and she had this this friend. And so the friend said to her, "said I want you to go with me to the show." And the saved girl said, "I can't do that." I'm saved. I'm living for God. And she said, "Oh, but now you could go one time with me, and it wouldn't hurt you." And she begged and she begged and she pleaded until the girl finally said, "Well, I'll go with you. Oh, the girl had come to spend the night with her, and then she wanted her to go to the show with her. And finally the saved girl said, and you couldn't keep saved very, very much from that, see, but she said, yes, I'll go with you. Oh, they'll work on you and work with you and influence you to weaken your hands spiritually, to hinder you in living for God. And when we live for God, we're supposed to be doing something for God. Some people say, oh, we're not saved by our works. The Word says, be full of them, full of good works. And so when the girl finally was overcome and persuaded, the other girl said, now I am ready to go home. She said, I came here, and I thought if you could not be persuaded to go with me, then I wanted what you had. But now I'm ready to go home. You've been persuaded. Nothing much to it, nothing to it. If you yield it, see. You get this text? I really didn't know this was in the scripture. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. And we'll go when the king is weakened, when you're tired, when you're sick, you can't fight like you can when you're on your 2 feet and have the right use of your mind. When I was so sick with a nervous breakdown and I couldn't eat and couldn't sleep, and they brought me something to eat, they made me eat what I ate, and so they brought me something to eat, and I said, well, just feed me then. If they're going to make me eat, might as well just feed me. I was that helpless and so weakened. And when we got, I never did finish telling you about being a young person. Time went on and I lived for God. But a time when I got discouraged, the young people of the community, the people of the land, and the devil knows and people know. And I woke up when one of the girls said, finally to me, she said, will you come to our party? They hadn't been asking me to go to the party. But it was right when I was down, weakened and discouraged. And she said, Ruth, we're going to have a party. Will you come to it? The people of the land. And I sort of woke up and got a hold of myself better to go on for God. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. May God help us, each one of us. There's old people that their children have just gone with the world. They get old, they get weak, they get helpless, they get more dependent on the children. And then the children crowd in these ungodly things, maybe, and try to help the old people and have them something to entertain them. One sister says, well, I'm just helpless. My folks have to take care of me. They just pick me up and take me to the hospital. I don't want to go. But the people of the land, I say again, maybe those of your own household. The Word says your enemies may be those of your own household. Do you get this thought?
Yes.
I hope this time hadn't been wasted.
No, very good.
The people of the land will weaken your hands and will try to get you to walk in their ways. They think it strange that you don't walk with them anymore. Well, I'm saved too. You tell somebody, or I just the other day someone said, but I'm a Christian, And this woman there at the desk said, and I am too. There's a lot of people talking about being born again. Now, that got to be quite a popular thought from the president we used to have on down. Born again Christian. Well, if you're Christian, you've been born again. God help us now that we'll know how to walk in this wicked world. That we'll know how to treat those around us, treat our fellow men, and yet keep ourselves pure. One of those said, I've kept me. Some people say, oh, but the Lord, he's able to keep that which is committed, that's scripture. But then there comes a time when I have kept me. Be careful about taking up a friendship with the world. We cannot fit in with the world. And the most of the time, when you edge in with them enough to try to win them, it just happens they win you over, see. Weaken your hands. And then you don't have a power to fight with and so on. God help us today that we'll love and serve the Lord. And then we can all make it into heaven. I want to go to heaven. When I leave this life, and I want each one of us to go. Amen. And I know that your soul will have to go by the word of God. May the Lord bless you, each one. Amen.